Welcome to Takeoff, a points and miles podcast by 10X Travel. I'm your host, Bryce. Today, I'm joined by Emily and Travis. How are we doing today?
Great.
Doing good.
Yeah, glad to hear it. Today's episode is going to be more of travel faux pas. I'm curious, have any of you encountered any non-travel faux pas or recent pet peeves that have popped up for you? This one wasn't on the outline, to be fair, but that just jumped to mind.
Any recent pet peeve?
I'll start to give you some time.
Okay.
Drives me nuts. Traffic, light turns green. Everyone takes forever to start to accelerate when it's their turn. And you end up kind of missing the limited window in which you can get through some turn lane or something. I'm just like, come on, let's bumper cars here. Keep it bumper to bumper. Let's get everyone through. I always make sure to kind of do that myself. And no one else seems to get the memo.
Nope. You know, I read a few years ago that actually the optimal way for traffic behind the light to go, I have no idea if this is true, is actually instead of paying attention to the car and now it relies on everyone doing this, but instead of paying attention to the car in front of you and when they move, you just watch the light. And when the light turns green, everyone just starts going. Yes.
Like
so instead of it being like first person, then you go, then you go, then you go. It's just the whole group just starts moving.
Right.
At once.
As you said,
make that a thing?
Relies on everyone watching the light.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem to be happening these days.
And yeah, fender bender if one person doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. So
yeah,
maybe don't do that.
Maybe. I think we just need more roundabouts. That's my
Do you like roundabouts? No.
I love them. There's so much. Not everywhere, but like the light near my house. Roundabout would be perfect. The amount of times that I'm sitting there at a red light and no one is coming from any other direction, but I can't go simply because it's red.
Well, like, it's not that you can't go. You're not supposed to go.
Well, that's true. Yes. It is unlawful for me to go.
Have you ever experienced the double roundabout? It like, looks like a figure eight. It's insane.
No. That's a death trap.
There's one to get on I-70 near where we live, and it's just... it breaks my brain every time. I always end up going the wrong way on something. I'm going the right way through the roundabout, but I just get off at the rough. To clarify,
you do figure eight, you know, like
keep going around and around.
I don't think that all lights should be replaced with roundabouts, but our default are traffic lights, and I think that there are a lot of places where we need traffic controls, but we don't need a red light. Roundabout just solves the problem so much better.
All right, Travis, same dynamic.
You need
city
everyone
planner.
To know how to do it, though. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'll let you off the hook. We'll stick to the roundabouts for now. We'll jump into the travel faux pas. Y'all here are here listening for the travel faux pas, not the traffic advice. So, but before maybe you are,
let us know in the comments if so.
Yes. Welcome to Takeoff, a travel improvement podcast by 10X Traffic.
Yeah, 10X Transportation. Yeah.
10X Transit.
Travel could work. It's just a different kind of travel. Yeah. Next week, maybe. But before we kick off, a quick reminder, if you're new to Points, Miles, or Traffic, or anyone, check out episodes 1 through 6 of this episode for some of the fundamentals of Points and Miles, or maybe even better, sign up for My 10X. It's a free tool. It makes all of your own Points and Miles journey so much easier. Learn the basics with our course, set all your cards, Points, Miles up in one single place. It's a single resource to help you learn how to apply Points and Miles to your own life, save some money, you know, and have a more chill vibe when you are in traffic because you've been saving money with Points and Miles. So maybe it versus both things.
You know, we accept that you're not looking at the light because you were trying to select the next episode of the podcast. Or if you finished it, you were trying to get back to the start so you could listen to every episode in succession again.
Right,
so
taking a break to give us 5 stars and a comment, fine. Review, and share with a friend. Of course, you can do all of that in one red light. Maybe even sign up for My 10X while you're at it.
To be clear, this is not advice. Don't look at your phone when you drive.
Yes. Thank you, Emily, for protecting us there. Today's episode, we're going to be revisiting one of our most popular episode topics in the past, travel faux pas. We're doing a bit of a round two this time. You know, last time we debated airplane seat recliners, barefoot travelers, armrest etiquette. But today we're diving into all new etiquette dilemmas based on listener submissions and our own travel experiences. We've received tons of feedback since that last episode, so we've curated the best, the worst, the weirdest, all of it. Travel faux pas for discussion today. Plus, we'll be tackling some point Samaya specific gray areas that arise in these faux pas that really impact those of us who are using our hard-earned rewards to travel. So, Emily, Travis, you ready to jump right in? Tell us how you feel about some of these.
Yep.
Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
I'm not even looking at the outline. I'm.
You don't even need it.
This is a riff session.
Yeah.
Just like roundabouts.
The first one might be the most controversial one, right? Kids in premium cabins. Faux pas or totally fine?
I'll go first because everyone else is looking around with awkwardness.
I'm just waiting for this light to turn green, but I'll go when I'm ready. You know?
Kids are people, and people are allowed to be in places. Like, yes, have I had...
I think that's... Sum it up. That's good. That's all you have to say.
Like, have I had a business class flight disturbed by babies or toddlers? Absolutely. But you know what? I'm an adult. I am a functioning member of society who can regulate my own emotions. And it might have disturbed my sleep, and I might have been annoyed, but that's the luck of the draw.
I think it's more of a faux pas, or like it's more unacceptable to be an adult whining about a child that's whining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm good with them. Bring them on.
Yeah. Now, I might complain or I might whine about the parents if I think that there is maybe some more that they could be doing, you know, and there's some stuff here that as a non-parent, I might get yelled at in the comments. And some people will say, well, you're not a parent, but one of my favorite things I've learned before is, you know, I might not be a parent, but I'm also not a pilot. But if I see a helicopter in a tree, I know someone did something wrong.
Mm, well said.
Okay.
That's a little too controversial. We can cut that out, but...
We won't know it's controversial until we let it go. And once we let it go, we can't really cut it out. So
yeah, that's
we'll
true.
Just roll it out. But I want to push back a little on this because I'm in the same boat. Here's my chance. As a family traveler, I get to kind of play that role. I'm usually traveling with my kids in premium cabin. And usually when I'm annoyed by kids in premium cabin, the kids that are annoying me are my own kids. but I do think there's a little bit more nuance to this than maybe just a simple like blanket, like, yes, they're allowed. And Travis started to kind of get into that with his, well, it depends on the parent. So I guess I have two follow-up questions for each of you. The first is that, did you always feel this way? Like 10 years ago, if I would have asked you how you feel about this, would you have said the same thing? Because I know I wouldn't. Before I had kids, I used to think this was kind of a faux pas. Yeah. And then secondly, what are some of those kind of nuances that Travis was kind of alluding to where you do start to kind of like, I don't want to say blame the parent, but you start to feel like, okay, this is not like I was accepting this, but there's conditions that have happened in which I now think that this something needs to happen. Does that bring up anything for either of you?
Opinion
Travis. You can't tell
here.
Me seriously. They,
yeah.
Like,
no,
first business class flight,
I used to feel different. Mm-hmm. I definitely used to feel different. But like, why does it matter if you're in business class versus economy? Like, everyone's on the plane. Like, why does the fact that you spent more points or more money entitle you to more quiet, you know? Now, I will say I would absolutely love if like planes with a split business class and stuff maybe had a section where it's like, this is a family, this is like an adults only section. So that way you can have like, if you don't want to have to worry about it, you have a choice, and there's probably some laws against that or something. But I also just wish that like maybe every plane, you know, so that way it's like,
if you fly private.
Well,
yep.
NetJet still hasn't actually sent us our contract yet.
Gotta check the spam filter in my email. It's in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I definitely like didn't always feel that way. But now it's like, it's honestly like it made traveling so much more stressful. And when I reflected on it, there were many, many more opportunities, or there were many, many more times in premium cabins where there were children who were behaving like who weren't being loud, who weren't disturbing me. And it sucks when they are, but like, well, I was probably that way once. But on the parenting side of things, specific things that I have seen in premium cabins that I think are unacceptable. And again, maybe it always feels like awkward being on the spot on stuff like this, but I've seen parents whose seats weren't together yelling at each other about their crying child across the entire cabin. One of the harder ones for me that I actually am maybe interested in hearing Bryce's perspective on is like when a child is crying, or particularly like a baby or a toddler, and the parent is up carrying them, walking around, like trying to soothe them. Because I'm like, now you're taking from an isolated area to the entire like area of the cabin and disturbing everyone. Mm-hmm. Or otherwise, it's just kind of like, but like I would have the exact same feelings on stuff like that, regardless of the cabin that it's in. Yeah. Like none of these are particular to it being in business or first class. It just isn't, you know, just like give them some headphones or, you know, like, but I've got my own that do a pretty good job of canceling. So,
yeah,
that's a great point too. I do think if you find yourself irritated a lot by children around you on a plane, the easiest solution is get better headphones.
Yeah.
Spend the money, get the AirPod Max or whatever. And this problem goes away for almost everyone. But yeah, when you don't do that, it's almost like there's some, you know, it's my job to have to make up for the fact that you don't have noise canceling headphones.
Yeah.
maybe I should start carrying those. Just like, here you go. Here you go.
Like, I can be prepared for it. So why not be prepared for it?
I agree.
That's why I use the earplugs when I'm trying to sleep. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the only reason. Like, an aircraft is loud when you're trying to sleep. And I don't like doing it with AirPods in my ears. I don't understand how people do that.
Yeah.
Who sleep with AirPods? Is that what you're talking about?
Seems Maria.
Really? They're like uncomfortable just for me right now. So I can't imagine trying to sleep with them.
Yeah. And this does touch back on a faux pas from our first episode too, that we talked about around like kind of noise from a tablet on airplanes. I do think like a lot of people, like if a kid is kind of losing their mind, and certainly kids of, you know, particular age range are not thrilled about wearing headphones. Neither are we adults, as we just said. And they're not going to keep those things on. So you might have to listen to like CoComelon or Miss Rachel on like soft volume. And it's easy to be frustrated by that. But the thing to keep in mind is the alternative is a kid losing their mind, like screaming. So like a lot of times, that is the last thing as a parent that you're trying to do to like be like, all right, let's keep the peace here. And, you know, I've encouraged folks to think about that trade-off before you get frustrated about hearing a children's show. I've been in that situation many times myself. And I guess to Travis's comment earlier about kind of walking them around, I think that it would be great if parents would kind of understand the courtesy of like, take the kid to the galley, maybe walk back and forth in the galley, but not up and down the aisles, right? It's almost like a movie theater. Cool. If you want to try to take your kid to movie theater, if they start kind of losing their mind, please exit the area where everyone's trying to listen to the movie and try to calm them down and bring them back instead of walking up and down the aisles. So it shouldn't be that hard, but for some reason, this is just a strangely controversial take. And I do think that the whole like before and after that we're talking about is present in most people. I think most people start from keep the kids out of business class. This is my first time here. I spent a lot of points or money to be here. I expect it to be great. And the more times you do it, you realize should be open for everyone. Parents and kids shouldn't be excluded just because they're parents and kids, and get better headphones. That's a All right, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, we'll move on before, so that way Emily doesn't get to chime in on the controversial one.
Anything you add, Emily? Sorry.
No, I agree. I mean, I've only flown two trips in like a premium cabin, and I haven't been bothered in either one, so I don't really feel passionate one way. I mean, I feel passionate that I don't care if there are kids around me. It just like doesn't really affect me. They have every right to be there too, you know? So I'll put my noise canceling headphones on and peace out.
I will say I have recently discovered perhaps what in my opinion is the most frustrating, I guess, group of folks that you'd have on an airplane around you that can't be solved by any things that we're talking about so far. And that is high school band coming home from like band camp, especially if it's percussion section, and they feel the need to everyone simultaneously start like banging out like beats, rhythms, maybe singing on the plane, and there's 10 or more people doing that. I'm like, I have no solution for this other than to say stop.
No.
Please stop. Camp's over.
I know I was one of those kids. I was a band and theater kid, so
and there debate. Travis is walking up. Yeah, well, you take like the other side. Here we go.
The worst combos of everything.
Man.
Yeah. All right,
I did see up. A. I saw a video recently of, like, on a delayed flight, a girl, a passenger kid who, like, picked up the, what are they? It's not a phone.
Yeah.
What do they call it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And was an just singing Taylor Swift to the entire plane.
Yeah.
Boom.
Was it Taylor Swift? I thought it was Frozen.
Oh, maybe it was Frozen. Yeah. I don't remember what the song was, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, open to thoughts on that one. I understand.
It depends on how good they are, right? It's kind of like you see an empty piano in the mall, you sit down and play. No. Like, there's a level of talent in which that becomes acceptable.
No. Nope. I'm not here for a concert. Thank you.
Yeah. Unless you are the person who voiced that character in the movie. Like, no. Especially because I think I saw the flight, like, was circling for, like, 2 hours waiting to land. So everyone's already, like, tired and frustrated. And it's like, this is... No, we just want off this plane. We don't want to be reminded that we're still on it.
I mean, you just start singing like 1,099 bottles of beer on the wall, 1,099 bottles. You know, that's the only thing I can think of that'd be worse.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Be fun. All right, next up, bare feet in lie flat seats. Is this different from economy cabin if you're in kind of a premium cabin? Which
no.
You know, we talked about last time with the person snuggling their foot in my arm. Emily has opinions. Emily, go.
I mean, just keep your socks on, regardless of where you are. Keep your socks on. Thank you. That, I mean, I don't have much else to say. I like, wear the slippers that they give you if you're in business class. Wear the socks that they give you. I don't need to be surrounded by bare feet.
Travis, what do you think?
You're in your own lie flat seat.
Oh.
Like
Travis is bare feeting it up.
And you don't have smelly feet. Then, like, go for it. Like... They clean these aircraft between people. And also, like, the only thing going in the foot cubicle is other people's feet. Like, and
it doesn't help.
Like, if you care that much about it, like, just bring your own solution, bring your own sanitizing wipes or something.
Right, but and, like, I can't sanitize away someone's bare feet next to me. They still exist.
Well, yeah, if they are like physically adjacent to you, like if it's not a like 1-to-1 type layout, then sure, like that's a little different. But if it's generally fairly private and you've got kind of your own little, I'll call it pod, go for it. Don't get up and walk around with your bare feet, but like it's your own space, probably a long flight. Like, do what you need to be comfortable.
Flying next to Travis.
Yep. Well, you get some of those flights too, like the Lufthansa biz, where like there's not aisle access for everyone. So if like the inside person is bare feet,
they're
stepping right over you with their bare feet.
Yeah, that not okay, like unless you know the person. But if it's like you got a rando seat buddy that you don't know, no, like leave your shoes on. Or like, sorry, leave at least like your socks on or like change into the socks they provide, the slippers. But like if I'm not bothering with my bare feet because like I'm in my own little pod and you can't see them? Like,
well, if I can't see them, then they don't exist. That's fine.
But
I guess
you might be able to smell them.
Well, that's why I said, like, clean. If your feet smell, it's just like food, right? It's just like you can bring your own food on a plane, but it better not be, it shouldn't be like super, like, smelly, offensive food, like a tuna fish sandwich. Like, don't get me wrong, I love a good tuna fish sandwich, but. That's really strong scent on a plane that people are controversial. It's just like you probably shouldn't be like going on the plane with bad BO barring very extensive circumstances. It's just your feet. Like if they stink, don't stink up the whole plane. Yeah, whether it's your feet, your body, your food.
What percentage of people who have stinky something, feet, body, food, or aware of it? That's kind of the issue underlying all of those is be like, wait, my feet stink? And everyone in the first class cabin's like, yes, like at the same time, you know? So yeah, I'm team Emily on this one. It sounds like we're 2-1. Two people, no bare feet. Your skin shouldn't be in contact at any point in the airplane, like on the skin on the bottom of your feet. Nope. Full stop.
I hate having things on my feet. So 16, like a long flight, if it's not bothering someone else, flame me in the comments.
Are you going to go around and ask every single passenger in the cabin if your bare feet will bother them?
No.
Excuse me,
like
sir.
To see that video,
Would you mind? Would you mind if I took my socks off?
Would you say that my feet stink here? Have a whiff.
No. I'll ask my wife.
There we go. Always good for honest feedback.
Yeah.
All right, next up, how about overhead bin space savers? These are the folks who take their jackets, small items, they fill an entire bin with them, and in most cases, block space from people who might have rolling bags or other things. It seems to be less of a problem in premium cabin because you have a little bit more space per person, but generally speaking, how do we feel about that?
Domestic flights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's great if you're the person that needs the space, but if you're the person that's saving the space, I go great.
Yeah. So it's okay if I do it?
It's okay if I do it. But yeah, no, I usually would always put my smaller items underneath the seat. But sometimes when we have the e-bags, the 10X travel e-bags, I pack that thing full. And it needs to go above because otherwise I won't have space for my legs.
Yeah. I agree with you, Emily. I always take the position of put the non-personal stuff up there, hang on to the personal stuff, and then as boarding is completed, that's when you put the rest up there. And I wish everyone would do that. But
yeah. Still.
Well, I agree with that. Like if especially like jackets, purses, stuff like that. You know, I'm tall. If I can manage to put a jacket in the under the seat in front of me, that's fine. Where I think I do differ is if I have like a backpack and maybe I'm traveling with just a backpack. You know, maybe I've checked my bag and I'm not doing a traditional carry-on. I'm doing a personal item, but it's like a backpack, which is typically classified as a personal item. I think you are just as entitled to the overhead space for that instead of having to put it under the seat in front of you, even if it fits, if you don't have another bag. Like if you don't have another roller bag, that space is just, in my opinion, that space is there for one bag per person, regardless of how big it is. It's when you kind of start violating that. So if it's a backpack and you don't want it taking up all of the space for your feet, you're entitled to put it up there, in my opinion, as long as you don't have a roller bag as well. The one maybe exception to this is if you are in a premium cabin and the full premium cabin has boarded and there's still space, then sure, go ahead and throw your other stuff up there. Or I guess that just applies in general. But like, if I'm like on a domestic flight, gotten upgraded, for example, and I know that there's still people like boarding and they're making the announcements about the stuff in the just flame it. Just keep it coming. Just keep it coming.
But I was here for it.
In that case, I don't have a problem with it. Like if as long as it says like, oh, hey, this is reserved for first class. That's like one of the perks of being up there, whether you got upgraded for free or you paid for it. Like
people don't respect that on domestic flights.
They don't
at all.
No, they don't.
That's honestly where I have the faux pas. Is like people just walking by and shoving their stuff up there and then walking to like row 30.
Yeah. Yeah. My bigger thing with the like overhead bin space in general is like the airlines could solve all of this just by like letting more people check a bag for free. I think a lot of people do it because they don't want to pay for a checked bag and they don't have an airline co-branded card that gives you a checked bag for free. Mm. But like if they just offered for people to check a bag for free, which is literally what they do at the gate whenever it's full anyways, then I think we could kind of alleviate this problem. I imagine there's a lot of people who would be happy to check a bag over putting it in the overhead bin anyways.
I have noticed there's a slight derivative of this problem that comes up on some plane configurations with the foot space. Mm-hmm. Where you'll have like, usually in domestic first, there's kind of two larger footwells and then there's kind of one middle one. So there's the awkward, like, whose is that? And I was on a flight the other day where all the bins were full. I was kind of late to board. I had like a e-bag, like a big giant bag that can fit under the first seat. And the gentleman beside me had boarded first and he had just his single pair of shoes in the middle bin or the middle footwell and an empty one beside him. And I'm kind of sitting there just like waiting like, hey. Like maybe volunteer to move your shoes so that I can put my bag and also stretch my legs out. Never said a word. So
this is kind of a combination of like the feet and the bags in one.
Yes.
This is Emily's first nightmare.
Otherwise you would have had a double. Yeah. And it was a kid and they were listening to an iPad and they were eating a tuna fish sandwich. Just pick. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're capped
out.
That
was a tough one.
How do you guys feel about people like dumping your belongings that you've put in the overhead bins to create more space. Yes, no.
I think same rule as trading seats. Totally fine as long as it's not a loss of value, if you will. If you want to move it across the aisle, fine. You want to move it down, tip it up, whatever. If you want to move it back six rows, how about no?
Yeah. I agree with Bryce. Like, I have no problem if someone laid their bag in there incorrectly, you know, moving it to make more space. You know, if I put my backpack in a specific spot and you're moving it and kind of like smushing stuff in there, that's when I'm like, look, like there's not enough space for your bag. Stop trying to manipulate mine to fix yours just because it's not like rollerboard. If you're moving it from one bin to another, the only time I'm okay with that is if it's like the other one, like maybe only has space for a backpack and I had a backpack. So you're moving it there for that space to make room for another. But again, not if it's like eight rows back, only if it's kind of right behind or right in front or across the aisle or something.
Yep. Yeah. It's like the things that we don't really think through as much, but as you kind of lay them out, that you can quickly create like a set of rules to like, where is it, three rows back? Is it five rows back? Like, where's the line? And we can all probably put our finger on it somewhere. But
I think it's if I have to wait for people behind me to deplane in order for me to get my, then that's where the line is drawn.
I agree. How about using multiple seats or spaces in premium cabin? You know, you board, the plane is a third empty. How do you feel about other people kind of stretching into other spaces, potentially using multiple seats on the same flight? Have you ever encountered that before?
Yeah, I've done it.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
No problems?
I've never encountered this in a premium cabin. I've only encountered it in economy, and that's how you get premium cabin on Frontier, is when there's just no one sitting next to you. The lay flat bed.
Yes. Yeah. I think I've encountered this a few times and it's almost never an issue and I usually don't have a problem with it, but there are some exceptions that do come up to where like, all right, the cabin's kind of half empty. I have an empty seat next to me. Other people have kind of empty seats and people rearrange themselves in a way to where like I'm still sitting next to someone, but there's like a bunch of empty seats somewhere else. You know, it's like, This unexpected value happens. We have to kind of divide it on all having our own kind of rules that we're kind of playing by, and it violates the rules that I have. That's what kind of upsets me. Had that, I just mentioned that day, someone just moves, sits next to me in an empty seat because they wanted to be kind of across the aisle from their partner and left like two empty seats in front with their other partners to each have their own empty one. I was like, you just took my empty seat and you made it your partner's empty seat. And I didn't like that. So of course I didn't say anything, just kind of went with it, but it's like, got to think that through, folks. Got to think that through. Otherwise, fine with it. Yeah. It's okay if it's me.
No, I agree with you. It's something about, oh, I expected to have this little bit of extra space, and then it's taken away, even though I might have done the same thing. Yeah, it's a little hypocritical, but it's the, you get excited for a little bit more space or a little bit more privacy. My general kind of rule is, if there's enough space for everyone to do, great. Like, if not, it's more severe cases. Like, I've had some flights in premium cabins where they'll make up my bed in another seat so I can just move over whenever I'm ready because there's plenty of empty seats. Totally, totally fine. If it's more crowded, but the seat next to me happens to be empty, it's fine for me to stash some stuff there. But then asking them to make that into a bed for me feels a little weird.
Usually they just volunteer it, in my experience.
Yeah.
It's almost easier for them. They don't have to wait for you to get out of the seat or ask you when you want turned down. It's like, no, we just did it. And now you have basically like an apartment on a plane. Like, here's your bedroom. Here's your dining room. Here's your sitting room.
Yeah.
What temperature would you like to be?
Yeah. If you're on American Airlines first class, you can swivel between your dining area and your office. So.
Yep. It's the old school configuration too. I love those. Yeah. Big old metal flap. It's like, this is either the emergency exit or my swivel button, but it's equally like big and like laborious. All right. Let's do some quick lightning round on plane behaviors. So just kind of some rapid fire voting, maybe a thought or two on each. And this we kind of alluded to earlier, but bringing pungent food into first class.
Bringing pungent food anywhere. Like,
agreed.
Yeah.
Where's your line on, I mean, pungent food? Sounds like it's a tuna sandwich, but... Mm-hmm. Like, McDonald's is pungent, but it's not, like, like traditionally, I don't think of like a burger as pungent.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like if it's a food that is known to be like potentially offensive in smell to people, like something that's super garlicky or super oniony or super fishy, is kind of where I draw the line. Yeah, like a burger, pizza, tacos, durian, all fine.
Boom. Easy. That should be
such illegal. A natural thing to bring on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah. How about standing up immediately when the plane lands?
If I'm in the aisle seat, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm in the aisle seat, absolutely yes.
Yeah. As long as I'm not running forward, I'm not trying to beat anyone else off the plane. I'm just stretching my legs.
Yeah. But what I will say is that if you are that person and the person in the other aisle also wants to stand up, once you get your bag and stuff, you should kind of do the like half stand where you're half in your seat, half in your aisle. So that way there's enough room for everyone.
Yeah. I agree.
And under no circumstances do you start walking forward down the aisle. No. The rest of the passengers want to like grab you and throw you off the plane.
And if they make an announcement of there are people with a tight connection, like try to let them off first. Let them off first.
Oh, I was thinking stand up and tell everyone, I'm sorry, I have a tight connection. They're like, you live here. You live here. I know who you are.
No, like when the flight attendants make a specific announcement, I've had that happen. And I know this is supposed to be a lighting. I've had it happen. And sure enough, the guy, like someone in, I was in the first row of the Economy Plus, and the guy at the very front of first class stands up and is standing there. And I do move forward because everyone else in first class is waiting. So that way people with a tight connection, literally had a like 7 minute connection in Newark. And then they open the door and then this guy's like, oh, now let me get my bags down. He wasn't even ready to go.
Mm.
No. Like if people have tight connections to where they come on and announce it, just stay seated.
Agreed. How about leaving trash behind on planes?
Oh, yuck. Don't do that.
Intentionally?
They come around and they collect all of it. It's like hard to leave behind trash. You have every opportunity to throw it away.
That's a great point. Yeah. Like, I completely agree. Nothing like boarding and finding it in your pocket with all the safety stuff, right? Yeah.
I get it happens accidentally. Sometimes I'm sure that I have left some trash on a train. Well, maybe on a train too, but on a plane accidentally. But if it's on purpose because someone else will come clean it up. And I know y'all are now probably saying, well, you said they clean the plane for your feet, but I don't know. There's a difference there.
Yeah. It's a lie for sure. Take your trash with you, please. So moving on to like some hotel faux pas gray areas. How do we feel about taking hotel amenities with us? Classy or klepto?
Classy. I mean, as long as it's something that you should take, like don't take the robe and think they're not going to charge you like $200 for it, but take the toiletries.
Yeah.
Take the, especially if it's a nice smelling soap. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
As long as it's not screwed to the wall, right?
Yeah. Sometimes. Maybe
don't take something apart.
But here's the interesting thing is like really nice hotels generally don't screw them to the walls anyway. So they just give you the full bottles in there.
Yeah.
And they do tell you they'll charge you for it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's always like the Hyatt places where it's like drilled into the wall with like carriage bolts and you can never get it out.
Yeah.
But even at the high end places, you know, if someone happens to travel with refillable bottles.
Okay.
Then I think that is just called planning ahead.
There we go.
Okay. So
I actually have a really funny story about taking the toiletries.
Do you want to like put on some hand lotion first or maybe some like conditioner in the hair that, you know, that came from somewhere?
I actually have a box of mints from the Langham in Sydney. So
does
that count?
They just got free ads for that. So yeah.
When we did our honeymoon in Park Hyatt Maldives, they had, I'm blanking on the brand. I literally know the scent. So if I look up the scent, Le Labo.
Scented
thing. They had Le Labo toiletries. And they had this one called Santal 33, which I really liked the smell.
Yeah. That's my go-to.
They had the hand soap of it, but it was like the solid soap, not like the liquid. And we made some friends there who went every year. And so the next year when they went, And if by some chance they're listening to this, they're probably thinking, like, how does he remember this? But the next year that they went, every day they took the soap and stashed it away and then shipped us a box full of it. So we had like 15 things of the Santal 33 hand soap.
That's wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Good vacation, yeah, friends.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a bit of a difference in what we're kind of taking. Some things are meant to be taken. Maybe leave the lamps by the table alone. Even if they're the perfect fit for your home decor.
Someone's walking out with a mattress. This is where I'm allowed.
Yeah.
This is my boundary.
Next one kind of gets into the points and miles angle. How do we feel about using someone else's elite status for a hotel stay? So this is, you know, using a friend's status for booking, even when that friend is not traveling, calling in to request upgrades, like on behalf of a quote unquote spouse. You know, we know this happens a fair amount in the points and miles world, and it does feel like a bit of a gray area, but I'm curious how you feel about that.
Are we counting this differently than a guest of honor?
Let's say yes. Let's say it's like not designed to be used this way, but you're doing the whole like, oh, they're checking in later. Like, please leave a key first for Bryce. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I have a weird line on this. You know, if it's you're redeeming points for someone else, but you can't put it like some hotels do not let you book it in their name, or you're using a free night certificate to book for someone else and it has to be in your name. That's fine. If you're buying and selling and trading with friends and stuff,
there's risk, especially because it's associated with somebody's loyalty.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can hide under the radar doing this. They can easily figure out who it is.
Do I have an ethical problem with it? No, it's just like there's a line for me personally where it's not worth the risk of my accounts being shut down.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think about that when they extend this, but you do have to kind of trust who's going to be there.
Yeah,
because that is definitely a risk. But yeah, when I see this, my initial answer is no. I agree that it's a bit of a gray area, but I'm thinking about all the folks who have hotel status who go to check in. They're like, yeah, sorry, no upgrades available. Because everyone who, you know, let their friends use theirs, and all these cats who didn't earn status have the nice rooms and you don't. I'm like, that feels yucky. So yeah, I don't love it. I know it happens and it doesn't really upset me, but I'm just like, I don't think I would ever do that. And thankfully I don't have any hotel status.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's my point too. It's like, I haven't had to experience this.
Yeah. So sounds like that one's a little bit more mixed. Let's move on to some lounge ones. How do we feel about kind of taking space in lounges as they become crowded? You're setting down your stuff. You're maybe taking a table that's designed for six people with just two of you. How do you think through those?
I mean, it's kind of frustrating, but I would do the same. If I walked in as a solo person and it was a crowded lounge and I saw a seat open up at a table that was meant for more people, I would take it because I want to sit down. I don't want to be like wandering around and standing next to the buffet eating my meal. So I'm fine with it. I've experienced it quite recently after a 4-hour delay in a nice lounge that I like at the Denver airport.
And how do we feel about taking up golf bays? You know?
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. But I will say in that situation, I just kind of like, I table hop. Like I'll see if something else opens up that is meant for fewer than four people or six people, I'll just go and move so that someone else could have that table. But if that's the only thing that's available, yeah, I'm going to sit down.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. If it's the only table available for me, fine. Where I maybe draw the line is, you know, someone who's sitting there and then puts their bag in the seat across from them and maybe their jacket tossed over another one. But there's an outlet over at seat number four that I'm going to plug into and run over to mine. So now you're taking up four potential seats for yourself and the lounge is crowding. Like, pick up your stuff, let other people sit there. And like, if you really need the charger, move over to the seat where the charger is.
Yeah. In my experience, outlets is probably the biggest place where this shows up, because you have someone sit down, maybe there's two tables beside each other, there's like four outlets between them, and they have in their phone, their laptop, their tablet, and like their neck massager or something. It's like, hey, like, yeah, my phone's about to die. please volunteer to give up one or two of these for me because you're just taking all the power.
Yeah.
But yeah, take the power back, Bryce. Take the power back. So yeah, be aware of your space. But sadly, kind of like the smelly feet thing, the folks who do that seem to be completely oblivious to the fact they're doing it. And most people are not confrontational enough to walk up and be like, yo, feet and your plugs. We got to talk about your feet and your plugs.
Why are you plugging your stuff in using your bare feet?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't need the visual on that one. Thank you.
Let's move on to food and beverage behavior. How do y'all feel about kind of taking food to go or like packing food in your bag from the lounge? Yeah. Scooping it all in kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why not?
Without limit? Yeah. Like take the whole buffet with you? Just big old plate of chicken, dump it right in the bag, set it down?
I mean, that would be an insane behavior, but
would I do that? No.
What if it's bulking season, Travis?
But you know, if you came with plenty of Tupperware to load up with food from the lounge to take with you, like, okay, go for it, I guess. Like, apparently I have a level of where I'm willing to shame people. And it's like, when you're just taking stuff in bulk that they can replace, cool.
That's true. Especially like packaged stuff, like, you know, power bars and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many lounges now have just to-go areas specifically, so.
There's actually, like, in Terminal B at Houston Bush, there's a whole grab-and-go United Club now. There's no seats and stuff. It's literally just you walk in, grab some food and drinks and stuff, and you take it with you.
Yeah.
That and solves it for everyone.
Do I take more than when I'm immediately going to eat? Yes, because I'm like, well, what if I have a layover or this food is probably better than what they're going to... than the snack box that I can purchase on the plane for $8 plus. It's free. It's not $8, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when, Travis grabs two durians to go, puts them in the microwave so they're nice and warm before he boards his plane, and then, ta-da, we're done.
Durian and tuna salad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. There is one instance in which I am the bad guy in this story, and I'm like totally okay with it. And that is when you're traveling internationally with children who are still like drinking milk regularly. And most like international countries, it's not easy to find like, oh, a carton of milk. So I hop up to that coffee station and 2%, the 2% little cup of milk for everyone's coffee creamer. Oh no, that is all mine for my kids. Like fill the bottles, set it down empty. Everyone's drinking black coffee. And I'm like, sorry, I don't have any other options.
I mean, so, they'll refill it, right? Like this is one of those where for me, is it annoying if I'm the person who's right after you in line and I'm going to put the 2% in and I go and it's like, what the heck? Did this guy in front of me, who does he think he is? Some travel podcaster who can do whatever he wants just to create stories? Like, yeah, I'm a little bit annoyed. But instead of us as consumers of the airlines and banks products getting annoyed at each other, let's get annoyed at them for not putting enough out for it to be readily stocked at all times for consumption, whether it's people taking some with them or not.
That's a good point. There's always an easier solution.
Yeah, just put out more food.
There we go. The Americans are coming. Put out lots of milk, water, and food. Couple more that are through a points and miles angle. How do we feel about kind of booking multiple award travel options, kind of knowing they're going to at least cancel a few of them? Is that acceptable? Do you have any guidelines around like timeline to where that becomes ethically problematic for you? You know, if you had to vote one way or the other, how do you feel?
Well, seeing as how I've done it, I have no issue with it.
I wasn't going to say it, but I knew it. And we'll let you volunteer that. I've done it. I'm currently doing it for a few trips. Yeah, but you do see some countermeasures in place now where airlines will see a very similar booking and cancel one of them. I know that's happened to me with Southwest, American Airlines. It's like, if this is impossible for you to take both, we're going to cancel one. Mm-hmm. So do be aware if you're one of those folks who wants to try to book every option, you might end up losing one of them against your will. So that is out there.
Yeah, I do feel like we have to pour one out for the American Airlines hold option because I used to put a lot of those on hold. Probably why it went away.
Thanks, Emily.
Yep. It's all my fault.
It's all Emily's
fault. Well, at least this time it didn't happen while we're recording the episode, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I gotta go. Is it any different with like last minute award rebookings, canceling and rebooking the exact same flight for fewer points if you see it drops?
No.
Yeah, see, I don't have any problem with that at all.
Yeah. No.
Some people do, but it's like,
why?
Yeah.
I think like there's maybe a slight risk with it of for some reason it's a glitch and then you're out both flights. But
oops. Yeah.
Who has a problem with people canceling their booking and rebooking it to save points?
Yeah. Who's hurt here?
No one. Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. I'd be curious, anyone listening, if you have a problem with that, please let us know what we're missing, if anything, because that seems pretty straightforward. But this next one will be fun. And this is one that I don't know has like a definitive yes, no answer, but how do we feel about generally like points borrowing and sharing with friends? And like the situation this usually comes up in is traveling with non-points friends, find a great flight that's a low amount of points, maybe it's a higher amount of cash. Like this makes a lot of sense. And then there's that kind of awkward tension around, I could book yours too, but then how much do you maybe pay me for it or kind of hit me back for that? Do you bring it up? Do I bring it up? That always gets a little awkward, right? Have you been in a situation like that?
I haven't experienced it, but like with all the rest of them, I feel like there's a line. Like if it's a hotel and I'm going to book it on points, regardless of whether someone else is staying there with me, I can expect that person to pay me the value of half the points. Maybe I might have a low expectation of like, oh, I'll get your drink or something. I'll like spot you a meal. But even then, like I'm not really expecting that. It would be nice, but it's fine if it doesn't happen. So I don't get too hung up about it. I mean, it might be different if I were going to book someone's like entire premium cabin flight with points. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I would go about reciprocating that.
Or like assigning a value, like a Venmo request amount.
Right.
I don't know. Travis, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. If it's a flight, it's probably a different story. A hotel, I'd lean the same way as Emily. I would probably say it depends. You know, if we're choosing to stay somewhere that's really expensive, either points or cash, sure. But if it's a medium-ish, like moderate-ish place, like, you know, just buy dinner, like, for me or something. I don't know. Like, it just, it's not necessarily worth overthinking sometimes for me. But I also, like, get that maybe, you know, comes from a place of points privilege, being in this long enough to have a large enough balance. I don't shame people for doing it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think as long as everyone goes into it agreeing to what their kind of terms and how they're going to approach it are up front, just don't go into it with expectations that if someone doesn't meet, leave you in an awkward position.
And I guess I have seen it also go kind of the other way too, where you're doing the, you know, booking flights with people that don't have cash. The best deal from a point standpoint is more expensive than the best deal from a cash standpoint. So what I'll often do is I'll say like, I will pay you the difference of like your economy flight that you want to do for your price. If it's like $150 more, I'll give you $150 if you want to fly with me on my flight, which I can fly premium cabin and points. That way you're not asking them to spend more money just because it's a better deal for you from a point standpoint. But that also gets into like kind of a strange gray area of like, who brings that up? Like, do you cover the whole difference?
Take different flights.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're right. Like, from the Travis and Maria school of see you at home, you know?
Yeah.
No, like, we're all getting there one way or the other, you know?
Yeah, which I guess that reminds me, the other fun one is like, my flight gets in like 35 minutes before you. Do I wait or do I ask you to Uber yourself?
35 minutes, you wait.
Yeah.
How about 25 minutes? Or how about an hour? There's a line somewhere, right?
An hour depends, is where it becomes...
Depends how far you're going from the airport.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a 15-minute ride or something, like, I'm not going to wait an hour just to go 15 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave you, point. I guess.
That's a good point.
Like, at some point when you're coordinating group travel, it's just like...
We all just got to get there.
Yeah, you all just got to get there. And it's cool, it's fun if everyone can do it on the same flight and the same transportation. But, like, if not, people are stressing it, then, I don't know, maybe it's not the people I want to be taking a group trip with.
See myself out of this group chat.
You're on a hard line.
I don't travel for it to be stressful.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. But some people seem like they do. Yeah. You want to avoid them. couple more lightning round ones I want to ask you each about, and then we're going to ask for a faux pas confession, something that you do that you think is probably a faux pas, and then we'll wrap this thing up. But lightning round, how we feel about gate lice hovering right in front of the boarding gate before your group is called?
I don't care.
Right before your group is called?
Let's say at least two groups different.
You're group nine, and they're like, we're starting boarding, and you get up. You know, that's... Or, you know, you... I know you call this a lightning round, and I'm like making it not a lightning round.
I don't know if you can do a lightning round, Travis.
Yep.
I don't know that I can. Maybe I just have to do it mute and thumbs up, thumbs down. What annoys me is when... Or where my dilemma on it is typically the people that are gate lice or inexperienced travelers. They're not used to understanding the zone system and, you know, the group system, whatever the airline calls it. And so they hear like boarding is starting. So they get up and they're looking, they're trying to take in information to understand. As an experienced traveler, I know, cool, I don't have to go until my group is called. What maybe annoys me a little bit, despite someone being an inexperienced traveler, is when you're group four or five and you line up in the side for group one, and then people are waiting for the line to move, or you're congregating there where people are trying to line up and blocking it. So people have to go around you or having to ask, hey, what group are you in? But at the same point, like, I get super annoyed when someone does that to me and they're like, what group are you in? I'm in group two. Like, that's why I'm here with the group two people. Because I'm group two, like, just assume I'm group two. I know that the gate lice are maybe annoying, but we're going to get on the plane. And I get that it's mostly about overhead space. Yeah, but I also feel like the people who are sitting there asking you what group you're in are also the people who want the overhead space, because they're going to put their suitcase and their backpack and their hat and their jacket and their gloves and their scarf and their shoes, because they're taking them off, and their socks all up in the overhead bin anyways.
Their extra tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. For later. And then they whip out their dirty.
Yeah. I'm team no gay lice. I feel like it's just everyone chill. The plane's not going to leave without you. Just take a breath. It's going to be okay, but it's always there.
It's annoying, but I try to give some deference. Just like, all right, don't get it my way.
One more quick one, and this one I think is a little bit more delicate. How do you feel about asking fellow passengers to take photos of you in premium cabin?
I could never.
Travis suddenly has a quick answer to this one. He's shaking his head.
No, ask the flight crew. Cool, but like another passenger that you don't know? Like, come on.
Yeah. Just reach up, pull their headphones off their ear, and say, excuse me.
Yeah.
I need this photo for my blog.
Mm.
Is that how you're feeling, Emily?
Oh, I don't like to bother strangers, period. So I could never do that.
Mm. Could you ask like cabin crew to do it for you?
Probably, but I probably still feel like it was an inconvenience.
I guess I feel like an amateur around everyone else. Like,
yeah.
Look at me. This is my first time.
Yeah.
But you're on your first time. You want that. You know?
Yeah.
I've been there.
But it's like, even though it's not my first time, it's still fun. And sometimes I feel that the cabin crew, when they know you're excited, like they get excited for you. That happened on my Emirates flight. They brought out the little Polaroid camera to the bar and were like, let's do a little photo shoot at the bar on the Polaroid, which was like,
that's nice.
So fun.
Yeah.
That's a new feature. It's like you're entering into a wedding, you know, like,
like they had like a little pamphlet thing to put the pictures in that they took. It was really cute. I don't know where it is, but.
Probably still in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your photo is up there. Travis did this that one time. Yeah. All right. I want to wrap this up with faux pas.
Whoa. Bryce didn't tell us. Is it okay to ask another passenger?
Oh, I think generally not, unless like the situation is very much like, I don't know, like it feels like the vibe, if you will, like, that person is just happens to be kind of sitting there standing up waiting for their partner to board the plane so they can help them. It's like, all right, you're standing right there. I'm sitting right here. If I can just kind of quickly hand you my phone and say, can you take a picture? You don't even have to move. That's fine. But if someone's like sitting down, headphones on, and you want to like interrupt them, different vibe. And again, I want to say, almost always a gray area, but sometimes it feels like it.
I feel like almost always never a gray area.
Yeah. Okay. So next time I'm sitting next to Travis and you're taking a picture of me, I'm going to wait until you look really comfortable though. And like actually have food in front of you and then be like, actually, can you get up now? But yeah, I don't know. I guess when I say that, it's like we talked about this on the P2s episode where it's like those first few business class flights, especially if you're kind of working in this industry, you feel like you have to photograph everything. Mm-hmm. So how do you get the header image of an article of like a review of my ANA first class flight if you are the only one taking photo and you're by yourself? You know, you don't have another choice.
So, bring your selfie stick.
Yeah. Or again, ask the cabin crew.
And that also might be more annoying than asking someone like a selfie stick like appears above you and there's a phone, like, you know.
Yep.
Although I will say one thing that a lot of people do miss is don't get others in the photos. Like I've seen people doing that before, and I don't love if I'm sitting right there in the background just like wearing my sweatpants or whatever, and I'm like clearly in every photo. I'm like, please try to respect a little privacy when I look like, you know, a raccoon that you found in the garage. All right, we ready for faux pas confessional?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I don't always wear shoes when I go to the bathroom on an airplane.
There's no way.
Definite way. If it's a long flight, and my shoes are up in the space because I wanted to block everyone else.
When you say wear socks, like the slippers, like if they give you
the little things they give you.
You wear those.
Yeah, but sometimes I've worn only socks. I make a calculation in my head. This is a strange calculation. How long have we been in flight? Like the longer we've been in flight, the less likely I'm to do this. But if I think like, all right, bathroom's perfectly clean or it's just been cleaned by a flight attendant and my shoes are somewhere inconvenient, sometimes I risk it. And I know it. And I know it too. Like when I start, I'm like, not ideal, but like, I'm going to take extra precautions. I'm going to risk it. I think the odds are good. I'm just going to do it.
The odds are good. Look,
the odds are never in your favor only in that calculation. Cabin.
Yeah. But okay. What about like Emirates First, right? You're going to like the spa bathroom.
I've never done that, so I can't comment.
Okay. But like, you're going to take your shoes off in there anyway to take a shower. So why do you have to wear your shoes?
Leave your shoes on
in the shower.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Should we gaslight like Bryce?
They didn't tell you that you're supposed to.
Should I pack my
when they gave you the instruction?
Yeah.
You didn't bring your swimming shoes?
Mr. Conway, you can't start to like undress for the shower experience before you get in the bathroom. Please get into the bathroom first. I'm like, come on, man. Like, I'm going to carry all my stuff.
I mean,
Jennifer, you should bring a robe in the commercial to and from the bathroom. I'm just saying.
Kept this one inside.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Travis's comment heat just went way down. Bryce is getting flamed.
Yeah. Look, what I will say is I have also done just the socks. But Emily, before you jump on me, before you and everyone in the comments attack me for this, it was, and this sounds super bougie, it was my Lufthansa first class flight where Maria and I were the only ones in first class and we each had our own bathroom on the side of the plane. So I knew no one else was using.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, are there times when it can be acceptable? Yes. If there's any other passengers that aren't your family, that's just.
It's interesting.
As well just go barefoot.
Yeah. Also, a quick reminder, if you're new to this and that sounded completely out of touch, episodes 1-6, you'll be in that situation soon.
Hold on. Emily, slight, would you rather then, because of this, would you rather just wear socks to the bathroom or have the person next to you be barefooted?
Choose your foot pain.
I'd rather have a barefoot person next to me.
There we go. Yeah, that's.
But you know that. What if that bare person next to you climbs over you, walks to the bathroom barefoot, climbs, walks or back,
what if that barefoot person?
Now you have both problems.
I think I just pressed the eject button on the plane at that point.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
How, Bryce?
I don't.
You
I,
are.
Yep.
Oh.
This is the beginning of the downfall of the podcast. Everything's going great until Bryce said he wears socks in the airplane bathrooms, and now we're all,
Like, and Emily's probably not going to like this, right? As the barefoot person, I put the slippers on. I don't necessarily put socks and then the slippers on. I at least, like, put the slippers on. They have, like, the hard bottom.
Yeah, fine.
Okay. I don't know if you were going to be acceptable. Like, put the socks on, even with the slippers, now that you're walking socks, around in public.
Yeah. Make sure you get the finger socks, too, so the toe socks. Yes,
of course. Of course.
still kind of in shock.
Yeah.
At that
one. Last.
Wow.
Like, that's all for Nabai.
I'll share mine if you want.
Okay. Yeah.
I have been the person to exit the plane before people who have connections.
After they make the announcement. I kind of sensed that because when I was saying it, you kind of made a face like, screw them. Like,
well, okay. To be fair, I happened to be sitting in first class on a domestic flight. They announced it. I was the first row in first class. And they were like, please let all the people get off first. But I was like ready to go with my bag. The flight had been delayed on the ground before we left for like 3 hours. And I was just ready to go home. And I didn't hold anyone up, but I did not listen to the announcement. So this is straight my confession. Yeah, that's fair.
Someone missed a flight because of you, for sure.
Probably. Yeah.
My confession is sometimes I wear socks on airplanes. No, okay. That's not my actual confession. That was kind of a reverse confession from my it's fine to be barefoot in your premium seat if it's not like adjacent. Mine is, despite like being annoyed with gate lice and wishing that people would just like sit down until their group is called, I get up there, I get in line. I'm part of the problem. Like, and I get it. Like, if I'm part of an early group, some people might say you're not gate lice, but I am. Like, I'm contributing to the crowd. I'm pushing through the people. Like, and I maybe internally justify it by saying I'm in group two. So I'm just lining up for group two. But, you know, I could just wait until group two dies down, or I could wait until they're done and bored at the very end. But no, maybe it's not that.
I think it's when's the last time you've been not in group one? So Travis is like, wait, I don't ever see gate lights. I'm always on the plane. Yeah. You can't even.
This is probably a bigger faux pas. If I'm not at a hub airport, and I'm flying United, I'll sometimes board when they call for Premier 1K.
Ooh.
Do they not check that?
That's a good one.
Usually at like smaller airport, like Columbus, they don't check.
Now I know.
Oh.
Yeah. So usually if it's like a non-hub airport, like they don't really care. So that's probably my bigger confession is, I've never been called out for it. Is that, I'll board with the, I won't board with the global services. That feels like,
that feels
like too much. But by the time they're calling the Premier 1K, I think it's because there's generally no one there who is 1K. And so they're just like, Premier 1K, give it 5 seconds. No one, group one. So if I'm already group one and I just board with the Premier 1Ks, like, what are they going to do? Say, wait until we call your group in 5 seconds anyways.
That's a good point. And so much of the whole gate lice issue comes down to like the speed at which they call the groups. It's usually fine, but sometimes you're in an airport like, okay, group one. Okay, no. Group two. No. Okay, groups three through eight. And then like, wait, no. Like, I was waiting for it to die down. Yeah. And now I'm fighting with group eight.
So
it shouldn't be that way.
That's probably a bigger faux pas that we didn't even address.
Yeah. Well,
and now everyone knows.
There is one remaining bigger faux pas that we need to address. That is listening to this in multiple podcast episodes, enjoying it, learning a lot, loving us, and not giving us 5 stars and a review on the app that is right in front of you right now as I say this. So I'm going to start into the unless you're driving. I'm going to start the wrap up here, but while I'm doing that, please take a moment, give us a review. It helps spread the word and create other gate lice, I suppose. But let's leave that second part out. Travel etiquette in the points and miles world applies just as it would anywhere else. Give a thought to your space, your surroundings, your resources you're using next time you're on a trip. And do let us know in the comments, what faux pas did we miss? What faux pas are we engaging in ourselves? Minus that whole walking socks to the bathroom. Let's just leave that there. Bryce never said that. Because we are all guilty of it occasionally. And a lot of times we just don't realize it. That's what's underlying all of this. So please share your own travel faux pas confessions in the comments here in the Facebook group. We would love to engage on this a little bit further. Tell us where we're wrong. Tell us that I'm gross. That's totally fine. I'm here for it. Either way, we will be here to help you make the most out of your points and miles. You can do that by signing up for 10x Travel Plus. That's our free paid membership program. You get 2 one-on-one consults per year. Maybe you can ask, hey, what faux pas am I missing? Here's how I move throughout the airport. Please help me. You also do get 1 free award booking with our service every year. It just makes everything about points and miles easier. You should sign up for My 10x. That's our free tool that helps you optimize all of your cards, points, and miles in one place to save money on travel. Using features like My Next Card, takes a look at which cards you currently have, recommends the next best one for you, takes all the guesswork out of it. Nice and easy. Come hang out in our Facebook group. We can talk about faux pas, ask Points and Miles questions, get help, all of it. There's over 390,000 people there. That is the largest Points and Miles Facebook group on earth. It will be slightly larger if you join us. Come on in. The water's warm. We'd love to have you. And of course, check out our free course, which is in My 10X. It teaches you all the basics of how to travel the world for next to nothing. So you can go from, hey, maybe we'll save a few hundred bucks on this upcoming trip that we're going to do anyway, to, you know, do I take off my sandals if I have my own private bathroom on Lufthansa first? That could be you someday. We want to create those faux pas problems for you. But for all of us here at 10X Travel, I'm your host, Bryce. Emily, Travis, thanks for joining today. This has been Takeoff, a Points, Miles, and Travel Faux Pas podcast by 10X Travel. We hope to see you next time. Goodbye now.